We fought our way through the cold and winter that is around us so far, but we've managed to miss the snow. But we all know that a warm and cozy place to go in this holiday season is to your local movie theaters, and there's lots of interesting stuff. And it also means that it's the award season.
Yes, it is. And I thought you'd probably start with Sundance, but we're going to start with something else. And I want to tell you that there are a lot of good movies out there, I think, that I want to see, and I'm going to try to cram them all in during this holiday season. I've seen Wreck-It Ralph so far. Oh. I've got many others to go.
Well, you
got to
go see Lincoln.
Okay, yeah.
Well, the Screen Actors Guild, which is a real good indicator of where the Academy Award voters are going, because the majority of Academy Award voters are actors. Now, the Screen Actor Guild only really nominates acting awards, but it includes an ensemble cast, which can sometimes give you a tip of what the actors are thinking about in terms of Best Picture. But the thing that they're thinking about in terms of Best Supporting Actor are Alan Arkin for Argo and Javier Bardem for Skyfall, Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook, which is a film that we're really looking forward to showing. It just hasn't been in the market here. Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master and Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln. Very understandable. Lincoln got a lot of awards. Sally Fields also got a Best Supporting Actor nomination, as did Daniel Day-Lewis, not surprisingly, for the Best Actor Award. Other Best Actor Awards go to nominations go to Bradley Cooper for Silver Linings Playbook, John Hawkes for The Sessions, which was an excellent film, Hugh Jackman for Les Miserables, which actually opens on Christmas Day, and we're doing it at the Michigan Theater, and Denzel Washington for Flight, and then the Best Female Actor Award, Jessica Chastain for Zero Dark Thirty, which is that film about the Osama bin Laden tracking and then finding him.
But again, these are nominations.
That's right. They're nominations. They're not awards. And Zero Dark Thirty hasn't even been seen by very many people at this point. It's getting released probably after the first of the year.
I point that out because I'm wondering if you know something the rest of us don't know, and you're declaring winners.
Not at all. I can just guess. Mary Cotard in Rust and Bone, which actually has won a lot of International Film Festival awards. Again, we haven't seen it very much in the United States. Silver Lining Playbook, again, highly recognized. Helen Mirren playing the wife of Alfred Hitchcock in Hitchcock, which actually opens this Friday, and those two performances by Anthony Hopkins as Hitchcock and Helen Mirren as his wife are excellent. And then Naomi Watts for The Impossible, again, a film we haven't really seen. But anyway, those are some of the tip-off pieces that
those
have been given.
Those are the SAG Awards.
And they most probably will be who the best actors are. Now, the NAACP also gave out their image nominations, and Ben Zeitlin's The Beast of the Southern Wild, which came out this summer, and Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained, which also comes out over the holidays, got a lot of rewards, as did Robert Zemeckis' Flight. And then a film that we just showed at the Michigan Theater, Ava DuVernay's Middle of Nowhere, which has gotten a lot of really great reviews, was kind of snubbed in that it won a lot of nominations for performances and all of that, but it didn't get a Best Picture nomination, which was kind of odd in terms of the NAACP Image Awards. So anyway, the things that did get nominations for Best Picture for the Image Awards are The Beast of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, Flight, Red Tails, Tyler Perry's Good Deeds. So anyway, a nice little indication of things to come in terms of awards and lots of different perspectives and dynamics on what people consider good, valuable films. And we'll get a lot more of these before the end of the year, before the Academy Awards come up in February. Well, I'm very proud to announce that the Michigan Theater again has been selected by the Sundance Film Festival to be an official venue of the Sundance Film Festival, as part of the Sundance Film Festival USA.
And congratulations on that. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it's neat. There's only 10 theaters from around the country, and all the other theaters are in big cities. Well, Tucson, I guess, isn't really it's not the biggest city, but you know, New York and Boston and Chicago and Houston and San Francisco and L.A. are the other cities that were selected. So we're very happy, and we also have the biggest venue. So we sell more tickets to Sundance USA than any other.
Well,
town, I
honestly think it's a tribute to you and the people you work with, and to all the people that support the Michigan Theater.
Absolutely, so, no, we're lucky.
This is cool.
We're lucky to live in a town. Now, the name of the film is called The East, Beast. And it's a thriller. The last 3 years, we've had comedies, so this is kind of neat that it's a thriller. And we'll talk more about this as it comes up. But it's about this female agent, person that's placed a spy inside this company, and it's kind of an industrial spy, not a government spy, who is supposed to find out about this anarchist organization. It sounds kind of like Anonymous, that hacktivist group, and they're attacking corporate entities with their hacktivism. And so anyway, but she starts to fall for this charismatic leader of this group. So she becomes a little conflicted about what she's supposed to do. So the East is going to be on January 31st, and we're going to celebrate Sundance. We're going to celebrate the Michigan Theater's 85th anniversary. And I've been around the Michigan Theater for 30 years, and some people
and
thought
we
should
finally
celebrate
get
that.
To publicly make fun. No, I'm kidding.
Exactly.
to celebrate that 30th anniversary for you.
That should be fun. The programming director of the Sundance Film Festival, Trevor Groth, is going to join us, as is the director and a star or two from the film, and we'll talk about that more later. But The East, January 31st, you can get tickets at Ticketmaster. Go check it out. Now, opening this week, which if you were listening to NPR earlier in the day, you heard Kenneth Turin's review for The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, which wasn't exactly positive.
He called it a good movie, but not that great.
Well,
and I know a lot of people that are fans of the books, and books, I should say, and I really can't wait to see this movie.
It's
and I
true.
Know they're going to like it no matter what Kenneth Turan or any other critic says. So,
it's a little surprising because Peter Jackson, who did direct the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and they're going to do a Hobbit trilogy, mm-hmm. Also directed this film. And essentially, what Kenneth Turan said is what most of the critics are saying, which is that it's very solidly produced, a lot of really great things in it, but it's just a little dull, a little tedious, a little long, and it seems like they could have been a little bit more compact in the storytelling.
Now, that's how I felt about Gone with the Wind, and every time I say that.
Well, it is 4 hours long.
Yeah, I know.
So The Hobbit is about Bilbo Baggins, who is this creature who's known as a hobbit, which is a type of creature that lives in the Middle Earth. And he is drafted against his will to go on this adventure. Lots of things happen to the adventurers as they make their way through the Middle Earth on their adventure. And if you're a fan of the novel, you know exactly what's happening. If you haven't read the book, go check it out. It should be fun to look at, and lots of people are going to go see it. Now, opening next Wednesday, so we'll talk about this more next week on Cinema Chat, but is The Guilt Trip, which is Seth Rogen and Barbara Streisand play son, obviously adult son, and mother, and our Barbara Streisand character kind of just annoys the Seth Rogen character as he's on a business trip trying to make a big sale. So that sounds like a lot of fun. And Monsters, Inc., the Disney Pixar film from a few years ago, is being re-released in a 3D version again next Wednesday. Now, I'm extremely excited about the film that we're opening up at the Michigan Theater this week called Hitchcock, and it's Anthony Hopkins plays Hitchcock. And some of the critics were a little skeptical about Anthony Hopkins, who isn't really thought of as being portly or jowly or any of those things that you think of when you think of Alfred Hitchcock. But the makeup job is amazing. And then Anthony Hopkins is an amazing actor.
He is. He really is. But I have been told by friends who've seen this that Helen Mirren steals the show.
Exactly. Helen Mirren plays Alfred Hitchcock's wife, Alma, who was an amazing film artist in and of herself. And she was an editor. She was a story editor. She was a film editor. She was a story consultant. She consulted every possible way on Alfred Hitchcock's film. She was an incredibly important part. And this is revealed in this movie. And it's based around the shooting and release of Psycho, which also makes it really interesting. And then another film that's gotten almost 90% positive reviews is A Royal Affair, which is based on a true story about the Queen of Denmark and the physician that's taking care of her literally insane husband and the romance that develops between them. It's been something that's been intended to be turned turned into this kind of interesting personal political story, and they've carried it off very successfully, and Royal Affair opens Friday at the Michigan Theater. There's holiday classics and lots of other things going on, so go check out the movies at your local multiplex or downtown at the Michigan and State Theater, and you'll sure to have a good holiday time.
Thank you very much. Russ Collins is the executive director of the Michigan Theater Ann Arbor. He joins us every Thursday for Cinema Chat.
Thank you, Clark, and ta-ta from Hollywood.